after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Hooligans. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. A lot to get to today on this Wednesday. We got, for the first time, the Steve Smiley era Colfax begins tonight for the University of Northern Colorado. They get set to take on Colorado Christian tonight. Excited about that. We're going to talk, my poll question's up. It's Broncos related today. Colfax, you've already got a take on this. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. And we just kind of started talking about this whole quarterback situation for Denver. If Denver could have their pick between these quarterbacks for next season, so like they can get them, they don't have to, you know, trade a whole lot of great assets to get them. They're not really expensive at this time, whatever. If you could get one of these guys, if they had their pick, Matt Stafford, Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz, or stay the course with what you have, Drew Lock, you know, Brett Rippon going into the offseason. Who are you going with, Colfax?
Sam Darnold, actually. I think I like that he's still pretty young.
Yeah, and, I mean,
he's not the issue with
The Jets are a train wreck. We talk about the Broncos being in a bad spot. The Jets are, I mean, this is Mickey Mouse stuff going on over there. I mean, it's awful. I said Sam Darnold would be the better of all those quarterbacks, the best of all those quarterbacks that crazy year that yielded some awesome quarterbacks, right? Was that 2018? They're all in their third season. Is Josh Rosen's in, where is he now? Is he in Miami? Is he like the third string quarterback there? I think he is. Yeah. I lost track of him because I know he went there. But you got Lamar Jackson, who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Certainly one of the most electrifying quarterbacks in the league. Baker Mayfield is lighting it up suddenly. Is he even in the NFL anymore? Is Josh Rosen even in the NFL?
Looks like he's taking some lessons from Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's a backup in Tampa.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow. See, I mean, that's what Tom Brady will do. You know, he blinds it out. I mean, you don't even notice who the backup is. Oh, there you go. I messed up. I stopped tracking Josh Rosen's career, basically, once he went to Miami. But I said Sam Darnold would be the best. So, I mean, I'm intrigued by it. I got to tell you, the Jets didn't handle him very well. I'm not 100% confident that the Broncos would know how to groom a quarterback, which is crazy, right? John Elway was a quarterback. Like, does he not sit down with Drew Lock? Do they not have these great conversations?
I'm still on that page where he doesn't want any quarterback in Denver to ever be better than him.
That was the conspiracy when Tebow was around. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm serious. People would say that to me. You know, when you do a sports show, part of your living, right? Everybody just, it's open season. They always want to talk to you about games and sports and different things. And so no matter where I'd go, that was the hot news. So it's like people wanted to get my take on Tebow. I'd give my take. They'd quickly interrupt. And it was, well, I had extremes that were like, just doesn't want his records broken. Like, he manages the team. He runs the team. He needs to have his records broken. He needs to have success. Matthew Stafford's the name that keeps coming up, and people, the reason people are scared of that is because he's on a bad team. He's been to the playoffs, what, three times in his career? So people are like, well, what? But Detroit's another one of those New Yorks. I mean, Detroit should probably be like the Jets if it wasn't for Matt Stafford. Here's the thing. You do need a quarterback, first and foremost. But that doesn't mean everything. I mean, you could have a great quarterback, but everything else around you is just absolute trash. That can be it. That can be the truth. Lane says, I'm not ready to give up on Locke. A COVID-free season with mini camps, full-time with the team, getting Cortland Sutton back will help him. Granted, he needs footwork badly, but footwork work badly. But Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford are very intriguing. If Ryan was to leave, I can't imagine Kyle Shanahan doesn't get into the mix to get him. It's interesting. David says, let's see, where is that? Give up on Locke or not, you need options. Let him battle it out. I know the Broncos won't move on, but I see Vic as a bad coach. Lots of time management mistakes. Also, no matter who's slinging the rock, Pat Shurmur blows. Harold says, Darnold. He's shown the flashes with no talent. I think in Denver he could change things around. See, the intriguing part with Denver is, what do you have? I think we can all agree they have a good offensive line right now. They have a pretty good. I mean, Graham Glasgow has kind of been a little bit of a disappointment. He's been injured off and on. Garrett Bowles is a monster. Dalton Reisner's looked good. Lloyd Cushenberry is a rookie center. Got to think he's only going to get better. He's thrown to the wolves this year. And then you're going to have your right tackle situation figured out when James comes back. So your offensive line's good. Assuming Denver keeps Melvin Gordon, I would imagine they do. And then you do have Philip Lindsay locked up. I mean, he's not going anywhere next year. Whether he's going to be long-term or not, if you wanted to keep him, you got him because you have that option. Your receivers should be good on paper. Cortland Sutton will be back. I mean, I think Sutton, I really wanted to see this year take place because I do think Sutton would have cemented himself more into that top-tier wide receiver level. Jerry Jeudy, if he can get his act right. Don't know if you saw his Twitter again today, Colfax. Odell Beckham Jr., former Giant, tweeted out, there's like a story on Odell Beckham Jr. about Pat Shurmur, how Pat Shurmur held him back, you know, really messed up his career. Jerry Jeudy retweeted it, and he said, it all makes sense now, LOL. Do we have a Jerry Jeudy problem? I think we do.
Yeah.
What do? You drafted him. He's your first-round pick. You're not giving up on that guy. Do you discipline this guy? I mean, does that tweet mean anything else to you? That's what it means. I mean, we can talk about that later, but that... He's basically saying Pat Shurmur's the problem. He's calling out your offensive coordinator via Twitter. The Broncos have problems. They have big problems. A.J. Boye looks like he's going to miss six games. He's suspended six games. You want to get him out of the way now. He's trying to appeal it, I guess, with the PED suspension. I think there's only been like one case that's been appealed because they found like some faulty product and a GNC product or something, and a baseball player was able to get past it or something like that. It doesn't happen very often. You don't want him to appeal it, Colfax. You want him to miss his games now because these games don't matter. I mean, if they go 8-8, can they still squeeze in? I don't know, but probably not.
But if he's not juicing, do you want him next year? Just kidding.
That's the age-old question, right?
Yeah.
Let him juice. You used to, I don't know if you ever watched WWF. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, do you think that there's no steroids involved in the WWF? You look at these dudes. Have you seen those guys?
I think it's a statistical anomaly for them to not be using.
I think you're right. Sorry, I'm offending people today. There are some extreme fans that are like, the hell with it. Let him do it. The Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa days, those were the best baseball days ever. The home run chase, we will never see anything like that unless we give him a little extra juice. That's where we took that segment. 37% of the hooligans are saying Matt Stafford. And so, I mean, it's not just a quarterback. You do have to have a quarterback. That's plan A. You have to have a quarterback. But you also have to have the weapons around him. And if they can get Jerry Jeudy in line, you get Cortland Sutton back next year. If Noah Fant takes one more step, you should have some weapons. Our boy Pillowfight Dan, though, yesterday, Pillowfight Dan has the 20-year plan. He's like, what was that text yesterday?
If we wait 6 years, let's see how Drew Lock does in six years.
You're assuming that everybody on that roster is going to be good. In 6 years, you're going to re-sign them in 6 years. We'll bring Lonster on. We got a caller on the line. It's Lonster. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing okay.
Doing good. Hey, I want to congratulate you guys on a super job you did on the high school state coverage.
Hey, that was all the preps team, man. They did fantastic. It was fun to listen to, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. In fact, I listened to you guys from Friday afternoon close set till Saturday.
Yeah, it was a blast. I thought we were going to have the trifecta of Northern Colorado champions.
You know, I did too, but Roosevelt just couldn't quite get it going there a little bit.
Yeah,
they just fell just a few points short there, you know.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you listening to Lonster. Quarterback, you sticking with Drew Lock? You going with Carson Wentz? You going with Stafford?
I'm going to go with Matt Stafford on this one. And yeah. I'll tell you what, maybe he can get in there. Maybe he can kind of show Drew Lock on what to do to be a quarterback there a little bit.
You're right. It's not like you have to say goodbye to Drew Lock. Stafford has another. I think that the Lions have an option on him after 2021.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the Lions, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to win anything, so you might as well break it all down and rebuild.
Yeah, just kind of just dump it out or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Lobster, what's for lunch today, my man?
Okay, I'm having some chicken tortilla soup and some crackers and some hot sauce to go with it and some cherry tomatoes.
Cherry tomatoes, man.
Mm-hmm.
Can you get those this time of year? Here, you can find them. I guess you can find them anywhere, huh?
Oh, yeah, you can get them at Safeway, you know, wherever you do your grocery shopping at.
I'm still, Lonster, you need to get this sponsored, man. This is Safeway, you know, that'd be great. Appreciate you, my man.
Hey, for sure.
16 minutes after the hour, we got to take a break here. Not that we don't love hearing what Lonster's cooking up. We have UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley on the coming up on the horn in just a moment. I got to talk about that situation. They play their first game tonight. They were supposed to play CSU on Saturday. We know that's not happening. There's a lot behind that, so we'll get to it. 16 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
20 minutes after the hour, welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. A lot to unpack today. Very excited, though, about what's getting set to happen tonight, or as 2020 tells us, we got to wait till we actually see some players out on the floor or hear from some players out on the floor. UNC tonight against Colorado Christian. Joining us now, head coach for the University of Northern Colorado men's basketball team, Coach Steve Smiley. Coach, thanks for being on with us, man. We really appreciate it, as always.
I appreciate being here. It is an exciting day for the program.
Did you ever think you'd actually get here to this point where you're going to have, you know, coach your first game for this Bears team as the head coach?
You start to wonder after just, you know, what you see nationally, you know, you have pauses and stuff within your own program. You start to wonder a little bit, but like you said, we haven't thrown that ball in the air yet. So, I mean, until it happens, it hasn't happened yet, but we're really excited.
This is just so, I mean, this is strange for every coach, but here you are, Coach. We've talked about this. This is your dream, and you take over this program. I tweeted this earlier. Coaches aren't going to be judged necessarily on just the X's and O's anymore. It's going to be judged on how you handle COVID-19, how you handle the scheduling,
yeah.
All that stuff. I mean, you and I have talked. I mean, there's so many different things with it now.
Well, I'm looking at our little shoot-around plan and finish our shoot-around today. We've got to talk about, we've got to review how we're doing the locker room, how we're doing where we're entering, how to wear a mask before the game, the chairs alignment. We got to talk about all that different stuff today,
wow.
Which you've never had to talk about that before, you know, but yeah, it's unlike anything we've ever experienced, you know, all of us. So.
How do you, with the rest of your coaching staff, I mean, we see it at the NFL level. I'm seeing NFL coaches. They have, like, a guy that's in charge of bringing the coach back so he's not stepping out onto the field. Are you going to have a guy that's like, hey, coach, don't forget some of these things? Because I can't imagine how you can keep all of this rolling when you're trying to pay attention to the actual game.
Well, you know, I probably actually should have a guy holding me back just because I have a habit of walking on the court. I know that's a point of emphasis this year for the coaches to really stay in the coaching box, but yeah, I mean, I think our staff, we spent a lot of time just in our meetings on kind of going through the scenarios and all the different stuff and really, you know, relaying the information to our team so we try to stay within compliance of, you know, contact tracing and everything else like that. So it's going to kind of be a team effort, but we got a great staff, and that includes our coaches, our trainer, our strength coach. Everyone's on board and in sync with how we got to get this done. So we'll see how it goes, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot more twists and turns.
Coach, talk to us a little bit about the pause, right, from a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
What is that process like? And, I mean, what are you supposed to do at that point in time? You're told the program needs to take a pause. What are we talking about? Like, shut down everything, the players are confined. Can you take us through some of that process?
Yeah, no, it was our first pause. And, you know, in terms of the timing of this, you know, teams have been paused at different times. And you ultimately don't ever want to get a pause because that means you have, you know, some type of a COVID case within your program, your tier one personnel. And so, you know, we had a case, and at that point in time, you know, the kind of the guidelines were to shut everyone down for 14 days, and that means exactly kind of what you said, like there's no practice, everyone's on a formal quarantine. I believe all of our players were on a formal quarantine based on contact tracing at that time, which means you can't leave your room, all kinds of different stuff. And then the coaches, you know, we were masked up at the time, and so it was more like an athletic type of quarantine, I believe, but everyone was gone. You know, no one was allowed in the building. It was just a quarantine, and you just worry about your guys. You know, their bodies, and one, are they eating okay? But two, you know, losing 14 days of practice, strength, conditioning at this time of year is brutal. So it was hard. You know, when we got back a little bit late last week, we just started doing small group work, which really consisted of, like, you know, 30 minutes of skill work, 30 minutes of 5-on-0, 30 minutes of very light weightlifting. Did that for a couple of days, took a day off, and then I think on Sunday, I believe, is when we started going into, you know, more of a practice. And so, you know, today being Wednesday, we've had – Sunday was very light and short, so we really had about two practices.
Wow.
Overall. But we have had 5 or 6 days of getting their bodies back together. So we feel like we're in a decent spot. It's not going to be – you know, mid-season form by any means, but it's where we're at right now. A lot of teams have had to deal with it, for sure.
We're talking to UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley again. First game tipping off tonight at Bank of Colorado, 6:30. We'll have it on the air here, 1310 KFKA. Coach, in dealing with that, I mean, I'm just picturing, like, okay, all these players, they go to their rooms. What are they doing to stay fit? Are they just crunching out some push-ups, or what are we doing in there to stay fit and ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, that's about all I can do. Because on the flip side of it, there's some other rules that say that, you know, you can't do, let's just say, Zoom workouts, you know, like with a strength coach in your room, because there's not a certified, you know, athletic trainer on hand when you're quarantined in your room in case something goes wrong physically, you know, where you need, you know, CPR or the AED or just trainer help. So really, you know, you can get, you know, workout suggestions. And then it's just really on the player to just try to stay in shape. So it's tough, man, especially, you know, this time of year. There's no way to kind of really get out of your room. And, you know, even if you were able to, the weather gets colder, it's not like you can go out and shoot the park for an hour and a half and, you know, 27 degrees outside. So it's really hard. And for us going through for the first time in our program, you could really feel it. And as a coach, you had to really, when the guys got back, as much as you say, we got to catch up, you got to be really careful and slow down and just work on very basic stuff the first few days. Make sure they're moving right, nothing live, and make sure they don't get any of those soft tissue injuries, ankles, hamstrings, things like that, just because they haven't been moving enough. So it's a scary time for all of us.
I refresh UNCBears.com on like an hourly basis just to see updates on the schedule. Tonight, Colorado Christian, we saw Regis, so you've added that game Friday. But, Coach, let's get into this, the elephant in the room. I'm on Twitter yesterday. I see CSU men's basketball tweets out that it's game week, and I see CSU Pueblo on the schedule Saturday. But then I remember in my little brain, I thought that was UNC CSU playing on Saturday. Can you help us out a little bit on that? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's the perfect example of COVID, where you have all these plans. I mean, that, you know, Colorado State, which we're not playing on Saturday, that's the fifth game we've lost. And so just as an example, you know, my staff, my assistants, they've prepared, I think, six scouts now, and tonight will be the first scout that actually is going to come to fruition where we play. And so, you know, going back to the elephant in the room, yeah, you know, CSU had a, you know, pretty documented pause as well in their program. Their situation is a little different than ours, I guess, in terms of kind of how their pause went. But at the end of the day, you know, it was discussed that is this the right time right now to play the game? So what I can tell you is that the game is going to be played. Neither side is trying to not play the game, and as our two administrations are working on it, I think the game will be played. It's not official with the date, but it'll be played after Christmas, because there's just no time right now with both of our current schedules to put the game back in. But ultimately, it's a, you know, COVID-induced situation, and the game will be played, and it looks like it'll be after Christmas. And I do think that there will be an announcement on that date, you know, within the next 24 to 48 hours once the paperwork's kind of finalized out. But it's disappointing. Disappointing for us just because, again, it's our fifth game that we've lost. And CSU hasn't played a game either. And so it just kind of goes into that whole deal. But, you know, we're going to play the game, and we're going to make that happen, I believe, after the start of the new year.
Were you guys, like, did you see this tweet? I'm sure it was talked about. Was that news to you at that point, or did you already kind of know what CSU's plan was?
Well, you know, yes and no. I mean, I've been talking with their coach as well about kind of the situations with both of our programs. We've been talking a lot about, you know, the status of our health and how many healthy players. Like, there's a rule in our league, for instance, that says you have to have 7 healthy players to play a game. So each program is going through different types of pauses. So, you know, we've been in communication a lot going back 2 to 3 weeks. And not only CSU, but, you know, we've got CU coming on Monday. They've had a couple short pauses. We've got DU coming the following Wednesday. So it's not just CSU. It's every school we're playing. All the coaches are communicating, like, hey, what's the status of your program? What's the health? Because if you can't play a game, all of us need to refill games, especially us in CSU that they haven't played a game either yet this year. So going back to your point, though, yeah, we saw the tweet that they were playing, and I got on Twitter, too, and kind of looked at it, who they were playing, and there was definitely some confusion on both sides of the of what was going on. And so I think at that point, you know, it's like, okay, we got to figure this out. And, you know, both administrations were able to hop in and, I think, you know, come to a solution so that the game wasn't lost. Because the last thing you want to do is lose, for most of us, the opportunity in a COVID year where people are trying not to travel much, trying not to get on a lot of commercial flights. We got both of our programs. We're 40 minutes away. The worst-case scenario would be to completely lose the game. So I probably found out the same way that you did, Brady, and then we had to kind of figure it out from there.
What I think is interesting, and again, Coach, I think I told you this. I want to see both programs, healthy, ready to go. I want to see the best game possible. It's great for the state of Colorado. It's great for both programs. I really feel that way. And so with me, I'm looking at the tweet going, all right, I wish there was a little more explanation of, okay, we think it'd be a better situation to play UNC when we're, you know, we've got a few games under our belt. Like, I don't mind that kind of thinking, but yeah, when I'm reading that tweet yesterday, it came across as, what UNC game? Like, almost like, no, this was our schedule, this is what we're doing. And 3 different schools, UNC included, had different schedules. They all had a different opponent set for Saturday.
Yeah, and it's the amount of scheduling and rescheduling that we're all doing right now because of COVID. And you know, people see it on the nationwide perspective. I mean, Gonzaga had to shut down recently. They lost 4 games, and everyone's losing games and refilling games. And it's amazing. We'll get, you know, calls and emails daily about, hey, do you have an opening on this date? Do you have to fill a game? And it's just you know, musical chairs all year long, at least until you get your conference season. But yeah, it was strange, and I think that for us, you know, once we finalize the date, we're going to move it on our schedule. But you're right, you know, on our schedule, if we've got CSU on the 12th, they got Puebla on the 12th, and everyone's confused, and so there was some miscommunication, or however you want to say it. But I do think that we'll get the thing resolved so that we can play the game, which at the end of the day, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, no question about it. I know you both coaches, both administrations have a lot of respect for one another. So miscommunications, what it looks like, what it appears to be. There was a lot of frustration yesterday, but it sounds like we're all moving forward. Okay, Coach, tonight, speaking of moving forward, are we expecting a full roster? Are there guys that are maybe not ready to go just yet? Because the layoff can be interesting. And you, like you said, you want to be careful. You don't want guys coming at this thing too hard and getting hurt. So are we expecting a full roster tonight?
Well, we have 16 guys, and we'll have all 16 guys dressed out. There are a few guys in the program that you know, have been out a little bit longer in terms of quarantine, and so, you know, for us, there are probably a few guys that we don't anticipate playing tonight, to be honest with you. And you know, they just got back, and you just gotta look at it in terms of their bodies and the same thing. Like, the worst thing I can do, and our training staff's the same way, is put a kid in, hasn't done anything in, you know, 14, 15, 16 days in a few cases, 17, 18 days, and play them, and their bodies, you know, their minds still tell them where they want to go, their bodies, but their bodies just don't respond the right way, and then that's how you get that injury. And so we're going to really protect ourselves from that. So there will be a few guys that will be dressed out tonight that would be part of the rotation that probably won't play tonight. And I do anticipate that probably by Friday that you know, they've got a couple more days of workouts and just some training under their belts to get their bodies back. And I think by Friday we should have the full 16. But I do anticipate us having a few guys that we're going to hold out of precaution.
Coach, we're looking forward to it, man. You know, again, I say congrats to you on this job. I know this is a dream job. I know this is going to be a great opportunity. I didn't think we'd be on the 9th of December where I say, hey, good luck in your very first game.
It's crazy. I really appreciate it, Brady. If we go back to our initial schedule, November 10th, I think we already would have had like 8 games in by now. And, you know, it's like I told the guys a couple of days ago, like, guys, we've been practicing since August. You know, we're all about practice and developing and keeping the saw sharp. But at some point, you got to get to a game. And so they're just all at that time. I know our guys are just so excited to get out there and play. And it's probably not going to be pretty. But right now, it's just about getting out there, competing, getting used to a game, getting in, you know, into that flow, and then going from there. But I do appreciate it. It's exciting. And it's been such a weird year and such a weird situation. But at the end of the day, we're playing tonight. We're happy to do it.
I want to mention something, too. I'm happy to be a part of this round ball banter Zoom chat we're doing, Coach. I'm honored to be a part of it. You have that in the midst of everything. You got that. We have that tomorrow afternoon. Can you let our listeners know a little bit about that and how they can get involved?
Oh, absolutely. So when we scheduled this one every 3 months, you know, give or take, we're trying to do one of these kind of quarterly Zooms. We call it the basketball and banter. And, you know, just supporters, fans, alums, donors, anybody that wants to get on and just kind of hear the state of the program. We picked that date. At the time, we didn't have games right around there. And we thought, okay, this would be a good time, a couple days off. Now it's sandwiched in between two games, in between tonight's game and Friday's game. But, you know, really just talking about the state of the program, I think in this episode we'll talk about, you know, COVID a little bit, talk about the game tonight, kind of recap what happened in that Colorado Christian game. Hopefully with some good highlights, we'll show some film. And then also just to, you know, talk about our recruits. We haven't had a chance to talk about the two kids that we signed in November, which we're allowed to talk about now, and just kind of go through it from there. So, you know, the easiest way on our Twitter account or on our UNC alumni page, you know, if people just go to, I believe, uncalumni.org, that event would be right up there, and it's free. It's just 4 o'clock. You know, we'll probably go for just under an hour, 4 to 4:45, 4 to 4:50, and just talk about the state of the program and preview the schedule coming up, and there will be more and more additions and updates on even how that goes. So uncalumni.org is probably the easiest way to pop onto that, and we'd love to have people on there and make that into a big deal. So
yeah, it's been great, and you open up, you let a lot of folks that normally don't, you know, we have these interviews, but really they can get an inside look at what's happening with your basketball program. So I absolutely love it. Questions are fired off too. So, Coach, we appreciate all you're doing, man, and good luck tonight. We're happy to have it on the 1310 KFKA tonight for the first time.
Yeah, that sounds good. I appreciate it, Brady.
All right, man. That's UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley. Great guy. And yesterday was nuts. Yesterday was madness. Here's what I'm going to chalk it up to, Colfax, to be very fair here. I think there was a tweet out about it's game week for Colorado State without anything else. It was just a tweet that said it's game week. You click it, it's CSU Pueblo on Saturday. There should have been more in the tweet. Because I have no problem. Let's call it what it is. What is CSU Pueblo to CSU? It's a tune-up game. I have no problem with that. What is tonight for UNC? It should be a tune-up game. Colorado Christian. I wouldn't say that to coaches. I wouldn't say that. But that's what it is. CSU has been in a longer pause than the teams around this area. Much longer. I think, what, November 17th? There's stuff going on there with the COVID situation, and I understand that. And so that's my biggest thing is, hey, I'd rather see both teams 100% healthy and go at it. And if that's the case, let's let them get a couple of games under their belt. Let's let them get a few weeks. No problem with that. The way it came across yesterday was it's game week, CSU Pueblo, Saturday, when UNC has CSU on the schedule, and there's really no mention of that. I was all over it yesterday trying to get this. But I, as you guys know, if you listen to this program, I have major respect for Nico Medved, major respect for Colorado State, and obviously the University of Northern Colorado. So the last thing I want to do is paint these programs into a bad light. But I got to call it like it is. You know, I love that basketball program. I love the fact that Nico Medved's going to be there for a long time. But I'm going back to the tweet. I think that's where the miscommunication started. And as Jerry Jeudy can probably attest to, sometimes you need to stay away from Twitter until you get everything ironed out. Because I think that's where Bears fans immediately went to is, oh, CSU's, they don't want to play us. Are they scared of us? They're not even going to respect us and mention the fact that that we were supposed to play them. I was listening yesterday, Colfax, on NoCo Now. Tanner was interviewing Kevin Lytle of the Colorado, a great friend of the station. And you know, Tanner flat out asked him, he said, hey, is Colorado State scared to play UNC on Saturday? And, you know, Kevin had mentioned, hey, they played Duke last year. Colorado State's not scared of anything. The problem with that, though, is everybody expects you to lose to Duke. I would say Rams fans do not expect to lose to the University of Northern Colorado. That's what it is. Just like CU doesn't expect to lose to CSU. So that, I think that was a lot of the thought process going through everybody's heads yesterday that probably could have been solved easily with a couple of sentences in the tweet. Because I have no problem saying, hey, we haven't played since November 17th. We don't want to go play a solid UNC team right now. We'd rather kind of have a tune-up game to CSU Pueblo and get a few practices, get a few games under our belt. I don't have any issues with that. None at all. In fact, I would support that. I would promote that. But it wasn't really painted that way yesterday. 39 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more on our poll question, Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. A list of quarterbacks there if you could choose. Who would you take? Is Matt Stafford the guy on your wish list? Right now, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
/12:44, welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. Don't forget, we'll have UNC men's basketball tonight as they get set to take on Colorado Christian, their first game of the season, Steve Smiley's first game as the Bears head coach, and we'll see if we can get this season underway officially. But again, Jason Alvin will have the call for you tonight. Coverage starts at 6 o'clock, and the tip-off is set for 6:30. Our First Advantage text line, if you guys want to text the show, new text number, 970-478-1301. Text KFKA to that number, 970-478-1301. This Power to Play Sports poll question, I think it's an interesting one. You know, if Denver could have their pick between these quarterbacks for next season, who are you going with? And it seems that, you know, most are saying Matt Stafford. 37% of the Hooligans are saying Matthew Stafford. Second place right now is Drew Locke on our poll. Second place, you're saying you'd rather just stay the course and go with Drew Locke and see what he has to do. So you're not giving up on Drew Locke yet. At least, now it's tied. 21% saying Sam Darnold and Drew Locke. To only 10% saying Carson Wentz. But 31% at Matt Stafford. So I'm curious to see kind of how this goes throughout the day. Go to thewholeshow.com to vote. I don't think you can just use the old, well, Matt Stafford's not really doing it for Detroit. So what makes you think that you just plug him in a new place? Sometimes that's all a quarterback needs is a new environment, is a new spot, you know, where they can really, you know, maybe they click better with an offensive coordinator. They have different weapons, guys they click with initially. I mean, there's a lot that can go into that change. And like I said in the first segment, you need to be able, you got to have a quarterback, but it's all the other things surrounding too. 46 minutes after the hour, go vote on that one. Go to the Power to Play Sports poll question. It's available again at thewholeshow.com. Check this out, Hooligans. I got a tailgate giveaway. Manweiler Appliance is playing Santa this year. They're giving away a Broiler King gas grill valued at nearly $500. All you got to do is stop in, sign up. There's a sled there. It's a little miniature sled made from a 3D printer. It's red. Go find it. Sign up, and you are entered to win a Broiler King gas grill valued at $500. That's Manweiler Appliance in Windsor off of Main Street. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. 47 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break. We have a couple of guests still coming up on the program. Mark Johnson will join us, the voice of the Buffs. They lost to Tennessee last night. They made a hell of a comeback, though. It made it interesting. What does that tell us about this program right now? Also, a brand new sponsor, brand new guest of the show from Sweetheart City Racing, Shane McWaters. I'm going to actually be running in a few months, if you can believe that, Colfax. All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Hall Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. Dan Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us here on the show. I do want to tell you guys about my friends over at SCL Mortgage. Find them at myspecialmortgage.com. SCL is family and veteran owned. So you guys have no doubt heard about interest rates, right? They're at all-time lows. So now is the perfect time to get rid of any consumer debt that you have. Car loans, credit cards, student loans. That interest is not tax deductible. And your house payment is. SCL has been serving Colorado for 20 years. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. They're here for you, whether it's your bank statement loan or for self-employed people or a VA, conventional, or FHA loan with no credit overlays. Call them, 970-444-1222, 970-444-1222, or go to their website, myspecialmortgage.com. Tell them I sent you from the whole show. Yeah, this whole Jerry Jeudy thing is interesting now. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, you remember the tweet that was deleted. I talked about that already. He tweeted after the game, after Sunday night's game, basically said, at least I got my cardio in. You know, kind of basically more or less saying, hey, they didn't target me. I'm frustrated. Don't even know why I was out there. Well, here's the latest one, and that was deleted. That one was deleted. This one is not deleted, and I want to rephrase something because Odell Beckham Jr. retweeted something about a story unfold about the fact that he felt, you know, he was underutilized, his career was jeopardized by Pat Shurmur. Jerry Jeudy retweeted Odell Beckham Jr., but he didn't retweet that necessarily. All he retweeted was, God's will, one day the story will really unfold. Just sticking to the script day by day. Jerry Jeudy retweeted that and shortly after wrote, it all makes sense now, LOL. Now, what we're talking about is Odell basically retweeting a story about the fact that, yeah, Pat Shurmur didn't utilize him that well. And he wasn't, you know, maybe he kind of put a dent in his career. Jerry Jeudy retweet. Now, I don't know, man. I'm on Judy's Twitter, and he retweeted Odell, and then this shows 19 hours later, he just wrote, it all makes sense now, LOL. And everybody's asking questions. You know, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Everybody's responding on his Twitter account saying, what do you mean? So, is that something that you can flat-out discipline? Do you as a coaching staff say, what did you mean by that? It just kind of looks weird. It looks suspicious because Odell had a history with Shurmur. There's now this story coming out about how you know he hurt Odell's career, and then you retweeted him about a story ready to unfold, and then you wrote, it all makes sense now, LOL, shortly after the story was released. Do you sit down and talk to him? Do you have a conversation with Jeudy because it's that? Plus, you know somebody already got a hold of him. Because he tweeted that, you know, at least he got his cardio in. Is it as bad as we're initially making it out to be? I don't know, Colfax. I mean, there's part of me that kind of laughed about the cardio thing.
It was a good line.
I mean, he wasn't targeted. Yeah. You know, he didn't get any action that game. So, I don't know. Are we making too big a deal out of this?
I don't know. What happens if you just let the situation go? and he keeps doing things like this.
True. Is he going to keep tweeting and just, you know, because again, Twitter is, it's a dangerous game.
Yeah.
You know, as a coach, you can control a lot of how your players talk to the media, but you can't necessarily control when they're on their own at home and emotions run high and you tweet something you're not supposed to, because even if you delete it, you can screenshot it. We all know that Judy tweeted that about the cardio thing. Do you sit down and ask him, hey, what do you make of the Odell Beckham Jr. story? Are you, because you don't want your players calling out your coordinators. You don't want them siding with another player saying anything negative about your guy and then retweeting that, so to speak. So I think you have a soft conversation and just say, hey, we got to be careful with what we're tweeting, man, because some of that stuff can be taken the wrong way. Even the cardio situation. I mean, the New York Post came out with this. SB Nation came out with this. Odell Beckham Jr. rips Pat Shurmur for sabotaging his Giants career. He said he felt betrayed. The fact that Judy wrote LOL at the end of it, though, does that do anything for you? He wrote, it all makes sense now, LOL. And he didn't retweet the actual story. He tweeted that on his own. He retweeted something earlier from Odell Beckham Jr. The timing of it all just seems interesting. It's weird. It's 2020. We have to talk about what they tweeted and retweeted and all that. But it's a form of media now.
Had he just retweeted that article with his little comment without having said anything about getting his cardio in, we wouldn't be talking about it as much,
right,
would we?
Right. The two of those.
It's all of that together.
It's all those things coming together.
Yeah.
You know, because he tweeted this on 529, at 529, December 8th. And, you know, it was right around the time this story hit out there. So I think it's curious. It's worth a conversation. Does this mean Jerry Jeudy is a bad teammate? Is he going to be a problem right now? I won't go that far. I do think that he needs to watch it. I have less problem with the cardio tweet than I do this tweet. This tweet's bad if it's in reference to Pat Shurmur. Like, it's really bad if it's in reference to that story and Pat Shurmur.
At that point, you're basically telling the world, I don't want to be here.
You're saying, oh, you ruined his career. It all makes sense to me now. Now I'm starting to get it about Pat Shurmur. Now, I'm going to go read the story today that was out about Odell Beckham Jr., Pat Shurmur. So I'm going to get that information. It's interesting. All right, second hour coming up. We'll get to we got Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, in the second hour. Great new friend of the program, though. We're talking about Sweetheart City Racing. I'm actually going to get involved in some racing action, Colfax. I can't promise I'll be actually racing. We'll be back.